Because when I sit down, then I remember the people I wanted to mention. You know, Clarence has been traveling alone today. Barbara.
What's her name?
Barbara called in sick. And Danny, tonight, what do you call it? Low blood sugar? High blood sugar?
No, low.
Low. And Chris, I didn't see you. Do you have your cane with you tonight?
Legs feeling better.
Feeling better. All right. Good. All right. Talk about patience. I suppose there's never a time when we don't need it. Even when sometimes we think we've exhausted our patience, but I hope you haven't, because you're going to need it again pretty soon. In life, in the congregation, in society, it's just on the job, in recreation, just there will be a need for patience, like all the time. You know, when it's kind of like everybody was saying a moment ago, yeah, Dennis said, I need patience right now. I can't wait. And really doesn't always work that way. In Luke 15, verse 8, Jesus talked about the parable of the soils or the sower. He said, that on the good ground are they, meaning when the seed, the word of God, fell on the good ground, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Wow, so we hear the word, then we keep it, then we bring forth fruit. Oh, requires some patience. In Romans 5, verse 3, we glory in tribulations. Oh, really? Knowing, why would I glory in a tribulation? Knowing that tribulation works patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. Patience. Sometimes people say, well, I want to pray for patience. Well, one preacher said, then I'm going to pray for God to send you some tribulation. Mm-hmm. So why would you do that? Because tribulation works patience. James 1, verse 3 says, knowing this, a little knowledge, the trying of your faith works patience. Oh, we can't just go to the corner store and buy it, can we? We can't just kind of study up on it and hope we get it. There's certain situations in life that bless us only after we've experienced a few things. Heard someone say, patience is the Spirit's slowest growing fruit, but it tastes sweet. Patience. Ah. Patience means to, by definition, to stay, to tarry behind or bide your time, especially while circumstances play out. Because again, we say some things just can't hurry. Patience means endurance, steadfastness. King James uses the word patience, but the New King James and many other translations call it long-suffering. Not short-suffering. It's long-suffering. Forbearance. One definition includes the idea of cheerful hopefulness. That's right. In biding our time, there's a hope that we're going to last through it, but there's an item of cheer in that, and that rules out sighing. We're going to bear, endure, patience. It's an active endurance of the opposition that seems to be coming at us. Patience is a virtue that someone said slows us down. Maybe we're going too fast. So here's some things that I just had listed for you. Think about patience. In other words, think before you blow up at difficult people. That's hard to do because they're difficult. If they weren't so difficult, I wouldn't lose patience. You know, so how do you feel when the driver ahead of you is slow to move when the light turns green? Especially down here at Saturn and Paul. He's the lead car and I'm the fifth in line. The light turned green. You're the lead car. Move it, move it, move it. Doesn't always happen. probably heard this story, but I'd like to hear it again, so I'll tell it. You know, one man's blood pressure was high, and the man's patience was low when the lady's car in front of him stalled. And the lady couldn't get it started, so there she sat, and she's frustrated and embarrassed. She's holding up traffic. And the man who's behind her, instead of going around, he adds to her distress by laying on the horn. And so after a few more attempts for the lady to start the car, she gets out and walks back to the honker. And he's kind of surprised, but he rolls down the window and she says, "I'll tell you what, you go start my car and I'll sit back here and honk your horn for you." Patience, all right, mister, you get in and try to start the car. Proverbs 16, verse 32 says, "He that's slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that rules his spirit is better than he that takes a city." Wow. The mighty? Someone that takes a city? But if you're slow to anger, it's better. Probably heard about the man in the supermarket. Customers were paying a lot of attention to this man. He's pushing a cart that holding his screaming baby. The man keeps repeating, "Johnny, don't get excited. Johnny, don't scream. Johnny, don't get upset. Johnny, keep calm." And hearing him, one of the women in the supermarket came over and says, "Oh, you're to be commended for trying to soothe your son, Johnny." The man said, "Lady, I'm Johnny." "Keep calm, Johnny. Screaming baby." Long suffering. Boy, that's the opposite of being short-tempered. We want to have patience. In Exodus 34, verse 6, the Lord passes before Moses. He proclaims, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, a godly attribute. Abundant in goodness and truth. Yeah. But long-suffering along with all of the others that are listed of the attributes of God. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And in that text, the people were saying, "Oh, the Lord's been so long in his promise of coming again and the end of the world, so evidently he's not coming at all." So Peter writes, "No, the Lord is long-suffering because he's not willing that any should perish." And sometimes I think that's maybe the only reason that, to me, specifically, the Bible lists on why God hasn't turned to Jesus already and said, "Now, son, go call my children home." There's one other verse in Acts 3, verse 19. Peter says, "Repent and be converted." Then he gives a list of things, why they should repent and be converted. First of all, that your sins may be blotted out. Then that he may send seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And then the third phrase is, and that he may send the Christ. The only reason I can see why God hasn't sent the Christ already is because of his long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish. But one day the long-suffering of God's going to run out and he is going to send the Christ. 1 Thessalonians verse 14 says, "We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly." Yeah. "Court the faint-hearted." Yeah, I'll do that. "Support the weak." Yeah, I don't want to do that. "Be patient toward all men." Remember the story of the kindergarten teacher? She dreaded rainy days. Oh, rainy day. Oh, I did too. Rainy day. Oh, no, we have to, the students stay in. Rainy day schedule. So for this kindergarten teacher, it meant 22 pairs of galoshes or the rain boots had to be put on. Three times in one day, she had to help her little ones pull their overshoes on or off in the rainy day. And finally, at the day's end, the last student, she gives a final tug, and little Johnny says, "These aren't mine." She had it. But she counted to 10. She began pulling the boy's feet out of the boots. And he watches in silence. And when she's finished, he said, "They're my sister's, but my mom said I had to wear them today." I can imagine the teacher's patience. Oh, Proverbs 14, verse 29 says, "He that's slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that's hasty of spirit exalts folly." Oh, the situation we sometimes put ourselves in because we're not patient. So be slow to blow up at difficult people. Number two is just think before you slow up in the Christian race. This is kind of a lesson we've been dealing with the last two Sunday nights. You know, we patiently wait for the Lord's coming. So we have to hang in there. We have to have patience. We don't want to give up. We want to be steady in our prayers. We want to finish the course, as Paul said. We don't want to get weary in well-doing. By patience. Mark 13, verse 13, "He that endures," there's our word, "endures to the end, the same shall be saved." Okay. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5, "The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." Patient waiting. So there's some stick-to-itiveness that we have to have. You know, we have to stay steadfast. Because some things just take time. So that's why we always encourage attendance in Bible class or worship assembly or our fellowships. You know, participation. So we can encourage one another to stay patient. And we need patience. Number three, think before you let up during adversity. Well, anyone here never had a hardship? No, I'm in one now. I don't show a hand. See, I know. All right. When everything goes along as a song and the sun is shining and the flowers are in bloom, the birds are singing, oh, it's easy to be patient. Everything's all right. The real test comes when things go wrong. When our plans don't materialize. Can you imagine the people at the airports right now with all the cold stuff and trying to get home after the holidays? Patience? Don't you think that's what's coming out over the PA system? And they say, "Don't tell me to be patient. Do your job." Yeah, okay. Brian. You know, but what if we get off schedule, or our health fails, or what if friends forsake us? Patience. Romans 12, verse 12 says, "Rejoicing in hope," but he adds, "patient in tribulation." And then the third phrase is being constant in prayer. So there's something about the hope that lies within us and the prayers that we can may say that gives us the ability to be patient in tribulation. So be patient before you let up in adversity when trouble times come. We're going to have to face some circumstances over which we have little control. There's some things that come upon us in life that we just couldn't avoid. Some things come upon us in life I can't fix. I have to live with it. I don't like that. Patience. Easier said than done. But again, that's why we meet, so we can encourage each other in an area like this that we're talking about tonight. Patience. Paul knew how to be patient during adverse times. He said in Philippians 4, verse 11, "I've learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content." Of course, the joke is, Paul wasn't from Texas. I've never known anybody from Texas to be content in any other state but Texas. I always hear people when they want to retire, "Oh, we're going to move back to Texas." I never hear anybody say, "We're moving back to Michigan or Minnesota." "Oh, we're moving back to Texas when we retire." I don't know what that has to do with the lesson, but it's on my mind. be patient. Number four is think before you break up a troubled home. Patience. Something needed in every home. You know, when I perform a marriage ceremony, typically there's a phrase that I may use or an illustration. And the couple standing before me, I'll say, you know, it's a unique experience when two people from different backgrounds, family, places, and they meet and they develop a friendship. They discover a love for one another in which they desire to spend the rest of their lives together as husband and wife. And anytime you think these two people from the different places, different backgrounds, different attitudes, different things, and now all of a sudden you're going to put them together. After this ceremony, you're together. Yeah. You know, at the very end, once you pronounce them husband and wife, shake hands. I mean, kiss the bride. try to give them a choice. No, you either shake hands or kiss the bride. Nobody has shaken hands yet, so. So, Sandy, you have that option. Keep that in mind. Let's shake hands.
Ignoring you'll live longer.
You know, but anytime people get together, decisions have to be made. You're going to need patience. I think about that when we have our monthly business meetings. Same situation. We have all these men from different places, different backgrounds, different ideas. We come together. We have to make a decision. Patience. Patience. Number five, patience. Think before you pass up an opportunity God has given. God opens doors. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, Paul said, "For a great door and an effectual is opened unto me." Sometimes we may not notice that open door. So we need to pray, you know, "God, give me the eyes to seize the opportunities that you've placed before me. God, help me, you know, see the opportunities. Help me see the areas in which I may be of service. Or God, you'll just help me see where I may minister and use myself. So God, help me to not pass up an opportunity that you've given." Patience, think before you puff up at the prosperity of the wicked. You know, God doesn't settle every account at the close of the month. But there will be a judgment day. Psalm 37. "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord. Do good, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness." In verse 12 and 13, "The wicked plot against the just, gnash at him with their teeth. Oh, the Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming." God doesn't settle every account at the end of the month. Verse 37, "Mark the blameless man. Observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace." So that we need to look at those who maintain patience and faithfulness and emulate their faith. In verse 38, "But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. Ah, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble." Patience. "And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him." Troublesome times. Yeah. Even when we think, "Oh, look, they're okay and they're more wretched than I am." Patience. Patience. The last one, number seven. Think before you give up on a lost person. We want to imitate the long-suffering of God, giving people time to repent. not giving up on them. We still plead and pray and teach. Now we've, in this congregation, we've baptized people who were of age. And they've heard the gospel many years. You know, I go back and I think of, you know, Frida Elliott before Wilson Elliott passed away. But you know, Frida has told Wilson all those years what he needs to do. But he was very gracious. He certainly allowed her to attend all those years. You know, and here Wilson gets into being his 60s. And finally he starts coming, and then he's baptized. And then died not long after. I think it's Steve Heslop. You know the Heslop family that comes over from Phoenix? You know, many, probably about 10 years ago, perhaps. You know, they kept coming over every summer. They've been doing that for 15 years. And, they attend church. Steve was very involved with the family and going to church functions and things like that. And there were just some series of lessons on, I gave a series of lessons. I knew Steve was going to be here every Sunday. So on what's your excuse for not obeying? And I had about 21 excuses. And I answered all of them. You know, so my favorite one was, you take that excuse that you have for not obeying, you write it down. And because I want you to present it to Jesus in judgment. But you hand it to me, and I'm going to put it in your coat pocket, in your casket. So that when you get there, you take that out, and this is the reason why I haven't been baptized or didn't become a Christian. But there were several other things. But he was baptized here. Of course, the brother in Phoenix said, what's the matter with the water in Phoenix? They were really disappointed that they didn't, you know, after all these years of knowing him and the family, wait a minute, what's up? Why weren't you baptized here? But he seized the moment. I think of Don Hines. You know, you don't think Bobby hadn't told him all those years? Don was just baptized 9 years ago. And then Bobby's sister and or to be Don's brother and sister-in-law, Dianella Walker. I don't think Dee was an elder at the church in Shafter. I don't think every time they visit, Dee didn't pull Don aside and give him a reckoning. And here Don just let it go by. And finally started coming to our potlucks. He liked that.
I'm sure that wasn't.
That wasn't the motivation, you know. No, not the food. And he started coming all the more often. He used to play golf every Sunday morning. Couldn't attend worship. He's playing golf with the Navy buddies. But then he stopped that. Started coming on Sunday morning instead of just Sunday night. Wow. And then when Daryl, Christine's dad, was in the hospital the last week of his life, he sent out a request. He said, tell Don Hines I want him to come visit me. Remember that?
Yeah.
So Daryl came up and he asked everybody to leave the room and talk to Don. I think he just specifically asked you, why aren't you a Christian? That was like on a Friday, a Thursday or Friday night. And Daryl passed away that Monday, following Monday. And Don was baptized the following Wednesday. And I told him, I said, I wish Daryl could see this. And Dee and Ella, I wish they'd, you know, Bobby's sister and brother-in-law. Oh, I wish Dianella and Daryl could witness that. Patience? Yeah. Patience. 1 Corinthians chapter, I'll close with this one. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. Paul says, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom we believed. And you think about all the people that had an influence on Wilson Elliott. These are people that we know. You know, and Steve Heslop. It wasn't just me up here. Think of all those years of family and spouses that were giving them the... What's the problem with information? Was it not? They knew what to do. Oh, that's right. So who is Paul? Who is Apollos? We're ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted, Paul has watered, But God gave the increase. So then neither is he that plants anything, or he that waters, but God. But God is something. He gave the increase. Hebrews 10, verse 36, you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. That's we have to hang in there. Hang in there. That's the lesson tonight. Patience and more patience. When we assemble on Sunday evening, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Maybe one here this evening, not a member of the New Testament church. If that's your situation, we certainly have all things available. I don't think so. Yeah. But if you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement, for prayers. But certainly, yeah, I forgot. But you need to know what to do to become a Christian and stand on God's side, God's way. Hear that word, hear that biblical message that God loves the world, that he gave his son. And then believe it. You know, Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is. That is a reward of them that diligently seek after him. Now, Jesus himself said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sin. And then you'll need to repent of your sins, turn your life around. Jesus himself said that in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Repent or you perish. Then you want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him Jesus. He said, here's anything hindering me from being baptized in Acts chapter 8. He said, if you believe, Philip said, if you believe, you may. Well, I believe that Jesus Christ is God, is the Son of God. Philip said, stop the chariot. Commanded the chariot, the Bible says, to stand still. And they both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. They both came up out of the water and Philip is caught away into Azotus, and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Ah, salvation is always an occasion of joy. Always. If you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement, we can accomplish that. So let's stand together and we'll sing the song that Dennis has elected for.